This is how God builds his church, through a humble, spirit-filled, prayer-dependent, Christ-exalting, Word of God-saturated movement of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, and you have joined us, whether you're at home or whether you're at work or maybe in the car traveling somewhere, you have joined us for our series in the book of Acts, and what a day to join us because we are trekking along, and today is one of the greatest days in the events of the church's history. We're looking at the events that happened at Pentecost, and particularly what we're looking at is Peter's first sermon. That's right, folks, we get to listen to the very first sermon the church has ever heard. And I'm a preacher sometimes, and obviously our teacher, Pastor Robbie, is a preacher all the time. And Robbie, we love preaching and the Word of God in the church, right?
We love this text, Craig, because it's God setting out his plan for the church, his design for the church to flourish. And that happens, again, exclusively or at least primarily through the preaching and proclamation of the truth. Craig, we just talked about a really good quote before we start recording this, and I want you to share it with the people.
Yeah, I was reading a biography in George Whitefield, and George Whitefield, this incredible, amazing expositor, this preacher, and his biographer, Arnold Dallimore, who happens to be a Canadian, he said, what the world needs now is not more programs, more plans, more activities. What the world most desperately needs now is more men who, with tears in their eyes, are calling people to the deep, life-giving waters of Jesus Christ. And I think that's what we're seeing here in Acts chapter 2, and that's what we pray you're here for today, is the life-giving truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we get to read about it today. And Robbie, we're really excited about today's word, right?
We are. Let's get to it. We're in Acts chapter 2, the primacy of preaching, Peter's first sermon, the church is on a roll. Go, Lord. Amen.
I know it's hard in our day. Any pastor listening right now, any leader has an association with the Word of God, anyone wants to pray about this, I'm telling you, anyone who can hear this, we cannot give up an inch. It's getting harder and harder and harder. It's not in favor. It's out of season. We understand all of that. And yet, if we move away from God's Word again, we move away from God himself. Yes, be humble. Yes, be loving. Yes, be gentle. But yes, be bold. Yes, be bold. Again, be humble, be submissive in terms of the Lord and what happens. At the same time, though, be bold with the message of God's word. If you take away the Bible, you take away the power of God. We must understand this is what's at stake. There's a quote that says, the pew will never rise higher than the pulpit. At least it's incredibly unlikely that the pew will ever rise higher than the pulpit. And that is why we must understand the primacy of preaching right from the beginning. Notice God's design embedded in Acts 2. The plan for his church is shown to us in Acts 2. The very first thing the Holy Spirit says to Peter is, bring it, Peter, my paraphrase. Bring it, preach the word, and thousands will be transformed in this day alone through the proclamation of the gospel, through the clarity of the name of Jesus Christ. You won't be able to see all these details, but here are all the sermons in the book of it. Maybe that screen will be a little more helpful for you to look at. I told Mark to put all in one slide because I just want to overwhelm you. Look at all the preaching that occurs. It's just like every chapter almost as a sermon, the word of God is being preached and all these, because this is how God builds his church. Through a humble, spirit-filled, prayer-dependent, Christ-exalting, Word of God-saturated movement of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, too, the reason this is here, this pulpit, front and center. I mean, there was a time in our church that there was a suggestion, well, maybe we don't need a pulpit. I said, no. As long as I'm here, this is here. This is central. Even to the architecture or to the symbolism of what we're saying right now, that the pulpit, the word of God is here again for such a reason, to saying the centrality of the import and sufficiency of God's word, for the declaration of Jesus Christ. This is what God honors. We can never, ever lose this. And so even if it's the way it is, it's just this has to remain, This is what the Lord uses. I love that it starts out this way too. And I also, I've been so blessed to be pastor of this church now for 16 years. And our church has always been built on the primacy of preaching. Those who have gone before us, those with us, and I pray it never changes. I'm telling you that it's so important to have, you know, humble men up here just trying to, you know, just knowing that they have no ability apart from Christ. They're totally insufficient. And yet to just see Christ's sufficiency and the sufficiency of God's word, it's so awesome. What else are we going to do? And I just want to make sure you know, and I love that in this text right here. If you look at verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. That meant a lot to me this week. Well, why did that mean a lot to you? Because Peter was the spokesperson of the church, but notice the 11 standing around him. It's really a beautiful image that Peter gets to be, for all his faults, he gets to be the one right now to speak, but he's totally supported. This church has always had the primacy of preaching, and we now jump into four services, and I'm telling you, I want you to know that I know, I'm fully aware that the only reason I can do what I'm called to do and pursue the gifting God's given me in this way is because just as Peter had a team around him, man, I have a team around me. Our team in this church is unbelievable. The elders, unbelievable. The pastors, fantastic. The staff, beautiful. And the people of this church, exceptional. I sat the back of one of the services last and watched the people come in. I'm overwhelmed at the beauty of Christ and person after person after person. I'm just incredibly amazed. I walk in today and I see fresh faces serving everywhere. It just blesses me so much that that's what the church is. And I'm just so aware that I get to do what I get to do because I have a team around me enabling me to do what God's called me to do, and they get to do what they're called to do. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's humbling and it's awesome. And it's no different. Right from the beginning, here we see God inserting these truths to allow us to know the power of how God works in his church. And it's never one of us on our own. It's all of us together, filled by God's Spirit, pursuing the calling of Christ. So please hear that from me. Incredibly grateful I am and incredibly aware of all that allows me to be able to do what I'm called to do, that others may do what they're called to do. And God, keep using us and keep filling us. The primacy of preaching, it's pretty incredible. There'll be more where that came from in the weeks to come. Point number two, I want you to see the priority of prophecy now. Speak, Lord. So the primacy of preaching, yes, Lord. The priority of prophecy, speak, Lord. Look at verse 16 now. So Peter says, this is what is uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Again, notice here, Peter with no prep time. Okay, I had about 20 hours of prep time this week. Peter had no prep time. But in many ways, some people do ask me this, hey, how long did it take you to prepare that sermon? And the true answer is my whole life. Okay, in many ways, right? Everything that you do, everything God adds up. Peter was certain, he's like the best example of this. He was prepared for this moment his whole life. All the ups, all the suffering, all the mistakes, all the victories, all the learning, here it comes together. The Holy Spirit brings it together. And the first thing the Holy Spirit does is get the sword out. No, not the sword that cut off the soldier's ear. No. Get out the sword, the word of God, the Holy Spirit's sword. Why? Because the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is our authority. I want to ask you, what's your authority? Truly, the only authority the church has is God's word. The ultimate authority, for sure anyways, is God's word. Not some man, it's not some pope, it's not some form of culture, no. It's the word of God. If we don't have the book, we're done. That's why the book is attacked more than anything else. And this is what Peter does. From the very, very first sermon, very first thing, he says, Joel said, The word of God says, thus says the Lord is what he's doing. And notice Peter from memory here, so filled by God's spirit, begins to recite the prophecy of Joel. We ask this, why Joel though? Why this first sermon does he start? He's going to other verses as well. Why Joel though? Well, on the screen for you, three main reasons why the prophecy of Joel was used. First of all, because the last days have begun. That's why. So in this prophecy, look at verse 17. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares. So Pentecost is the initiation of the birth of the church. It's the beginning of the last days. We are living in the last days. The last days will end with the return of Christ. Now, loved ones, remember, if you place yourself in the mind of the context of the Jewish people, and Peter stands up and says, actually, what you're witnessing with the giving of the Holy Spirit, this is Joel's prophecy being fulfilled. They'd be like, say what? Like they would be so utterly astonished that someone is declaring that this prophecy, because the magnitude of what it is, that the last days are upon us, they would be again out of their shoes, amazed and astonished. Peter looks at them and what he's saying is this, he's saying, you have heard it uttered. He looks at here and you look here too. You look up here right now. He's like this, this is it. The time has come. Like we are in this moment now. Everyone be awake. This is what we're talking about. These are the last days. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is now poured out. Verse 17, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit is marvelous on so many levels. Why? Well, it means that now, Peter's saying, God has given his heart transplant. See, what do you mean by that? One of the most seminal texts in the Old Testament concerning the giving of the Spirit of God is found in Ezekiel chapter 36. I want you to look at Ezekiel 36 right here. Now, ready? The hugest difference here. No longer is it an outward circumcision of external law. Now, this is an inward circumcision of the heart, the Bible says. And it's been promised by Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. So imagine when you're, you know, a Jew and you're reading this for centuries before and you're trying to be like, okay, what does that mean? What will that look like? And I will put my spirit, what God will put his spirit, capital S, within me? You're trying to, what does that mean? What does that look like? And the spirit will allow me to obey? The spirit will now allow me to see the righteousness of God within me? You're just kind of like, how is that possible? And Pentecost is the deliverance of this promise. God is giving his heart transplant now to his people. It's incredible. It's phenomenal. And notice this heart transplant, the text says, will be poured out on all flesh, every race, every age, every gender. Every class will be transformed by his spirit. No longer Old Testament style, just prophet, priests, and kings. All flesh. Now watch this. Even at Pentecost, this is fulfilled. You have the 120, the Holy Spirit fills them. You have men and women all being filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verse 18. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I mean, that is awesome. Men and women together receiving, again, the promised Holy Spirit. It also means when the Holy Spirit's poured out, there will be supernatural communication. Notice it says here, there will be dreams and visions and prophecy. And of course, prophecy, visions, and dreams would be fulfilled all throughout the book of Acts. We'll see that this year as we go through that, Lord willing. You're going to see God using dreams and visions and prophecy all over the place. It's interesting, when you do a study of dreams and visions in Acts, every single time it's for the witnessing of evangelization of the gospel. Every time it's used to see the gospel go forward to reach the nations, okay? And so we say, wow, would God's people in this church be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we would see dreams and visions and prophecies? And I say, are you afraid of dreams? No, not at all, man. Are you open to visions? Absolutely. Do you think prophecy? I pray for prophecy often. But listen, like when we say these things, not praying for anything supernatural gift of God or movement of God that would ever exalt a person, okay? Like the people come up and said, God told me, but didn't tell anyone else. And thus says the Lord, I'm a prophet, and I say to you whatever, and no one else has a clue what you're talking about. That doesn't happen, right? I just believe very, 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 very wary of someone who does that. Anyone who says something to that I've received this from God and it props them up above everyone else, I'm like, I don't think so, dude. Okay? At the end of the day, if God's speaking to you, it's about the exaltation of the Son, not the exaltation of you, all right? And so everything has to be ministered. Everything has to be checked by God's word. Everything is held to account by this book right here. Nothing God ever says will contradict this. And so all the abuses of this over the years and all the people who come up and they're to do the scamsters and the ones that are sitting there peddlers of God's word and trying to gain for themselves. No, 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 no. But at the same time, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. At the same time, we're all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Think of the dreams that God is giving to Muslims all over the world every day. People coming to Christ like crazy, things that the world will never tell you. The news will never report. But God revealing himself through the dreams of the Muslim world and seeing them come to Christ and turn from sin and embrace the Lord. That is awesome. That is happening. This is happening. Praying for the prophetic word to go forward. Praying for prophecy to be given by God. Supernatural ability to say things in the moment you couldn't otherwise know that are so in line with God's word. That are so about the exaltation of God's Son. I'm so open to that. And I'm so open to all of you humbly ministering in the power of God's Spirit. Notice he says here, I will pour out my Spirit. Not I will trickle a little bit. I will sprinkle you. No, I will give you a tiny little thing. No, 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 no. I will pour out my Spirit then and now, because the last days are not over yet. And right now as we speak, God is pouring out his Spirit across this world, saving people from death, from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation as a fulfillment also of what happened here in this day of Pentecost. It's incredible. Listen, I need you to join with me in having a greater level of expectation of how God wants to use you for the glory of Jesus Christ. I need you not to sit there and look up at the front and see some elders, pastors, leaders, or staff and say, well, they'll do it. No, no, I need you. We need you to join us in the expectation of God's power flowing through you that Christ might be magnified. And his church might be built. That's when revival takes place. It's always the church together. The last days have begun. The Holy Spirit is now poured out. And thirdly, the day of the Lord will soon come. This is really interesting to me. So I want you to look at verse 19. Joel's prophecy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Before what? Before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Matthew's gospel says very similar things in terms of the end times. So what we have here in Joel's prophecy, there's a partial fulfillment at Pentecost, the Spirit of God being poured out, okay? Now listen. And there's a partial fulfillment to come. The day of the Lord, the day of judgment at the return of Christ. Half of this prophecy is fulfilled in the moment when Peter preaches. The other portion will be fulfilled, we believe, in the day to come when Christ returns. It's so interesting here. So within this very first introduction of the first sermon, you have a tremendous sense of opportunity. Like the Spirit of God is here, the grace of God is here. Jesus died for your sins. He is raised from the dead. You can be alive now. But notice, even at the very initial part, there's a passage, there's opportunity, but at the same time, there is a word of urgency, right? So there's a wonder. God's poured out his Spirit, but then on this side, there's a warning. But be careful. Judgment is coming. Do not take this for granted. Even the very first sermon, the very beginning, there's wonder and warning. There's grace and judgment being preached. That's important. Grace is here, but judgment is coming. You know, the Bible seems to speak of here, there will be cosmic events that will accompany the coming judgment of God. The Bible does tell us to look. We can't know when this is going to happen. I'm making no predictions, but the Bible says to look for the sign of the times. And I don't know about you. I'm making no predictions, okay? I'm not stupid enough to do that. I just look around a lot right now. I'm like, this world's so messed up, man. It's just like there's a global chaos that is occurring in a way that has never occurred before. The world has never been so small. It's never been so instantaneous. There's never been the ability for information to travel. There's never been such a global influence literally reaching every end of the earth in so many ways. It's very, very interesting times we live in. And what it does for me is it just makes me say, like, it just, there's a lot of perspective flowing through my mind on a daily basis saying, what are you living for? What are you living for? What are you living for? Like, it just, it places within you an urgency to say, man, like, Jesus is the only one who lasts and everything else is going down the toilet. Live for Christ. Like, I really hope you feel that too. We don't live in fear. We don't get all freaked out. We don't panic. We don't over anxious about things. You don't start like calling everything out, but you're just aware. There's an underlying sense of tremendous urgency for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's what Peter's going for even in this first sermon. He's like, listen, grace is here right now, but be warned, judgment is also coming. And I'm telling you, you're here right now and you need to know grace is here today. But faithful to the gospel today for me is this, listen, judgment is coming. I mean, who's here right now? Who's here right now? The Holy Spirit this is your moment right now. The Holy Spirit is working on you. I'm telling you right now, the word of God and the Spirit of God is coming to smash your prison doors of death where you are. The word of God and the Spirit of God is storming your prison cell to break you open, to set you free, that you might have the love and the life of Jesus Christ forever. That's what's happening right now all through this service. That's why this is such a big deal. That's exactly what is happening right now. And some of us right now have been in prison cells of death our whole life, and we tried to decorate the whole prison cell to make it as pretty as we possibly can. At the end of the day, it's still a prison cell of death. And you must be set free. Jesus Christ is the only one who can do that. I'm telling you right now, this is for you where you are here today. Through the love of Jesus Christ. And those who are here right now and you're sincere, you will join like those, as we'll see as we go through Acts 2. You will say, what do we do? What do we do? What do I do? What do I do? Well, watch this, okay? Notice the whole point of preaching and the whole point of prophecy is exclusively to point to a person. The whole point of preaching and the whole point of prophecy always at the end results in pointing to the person of Jesus Christ. Point number three, the person that saves, go, Lord. The person that saves. Look at verse 21 now, okay? And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I ask all Christians in this room right now to be praying at this moment? Can I just ask you where you are to be praying that God would have mercy and open eyes? That we would see. Can I ask you, maybe our youth right now, as Pastor Carl's preaching to them as we speak, just believing in the power of the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in this message, opportunity, there's urgency, there's a serious warning, but then verse 21, there's hope. There's hope. Judgment's coming, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Judgment is real. Hell in eternity is just so real, but there's hope. With hell, there's hope. There's hope. Hope is found in Jesus Christ. He says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, when Joel made this prophecy, his fulfillment was Yahweh. When Peter says this, the fulfillment is now Jesus. Jesus is the name above all names. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 on the screen for you. Before this verse, it says this, Jesus, and there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name. You're here today. You're here today, okay? The Bible cannot be more clear. There is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. There's no other name. I'm telling you, who's here today? Hear this. Jesus is the one. Jesus saves you. Jesus doesn't promise an easier life. He promises a more difficult life. But Jesus promised he is the one to save. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. To be saved, to have salvation, only in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I call out to those today who are calling out to idols to save you. I implore you, stop the idiocy. Your alcohol corrupts you. Your sexual sin pollutes you. Your money deceives you. Your pride blinds you. This is why the Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, but blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. This is why we must call upon the name of the Lord, the name of life, the name of hope, the name of salvation. And you know what? The only thing Jesus Christ requires, not your works, not your perfection, the only thing he requires is your faith. It's a faith to believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. And he promises that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be adopted as the Son of God, daughter of God, never ever to die again. You know, some of you, you have seen the name of God. Some of you have sung the name of the Lord. Some of you have observed the name of the Lord from a distance. Some of you have even defended the name of the Lord in some form, in some way, but you've never actually called upon the name of the Lord. You've never truly called on his name to give you life and freedom and forgiveness of sins, to have life eternal. This is why I hope every Christian is praying right now, that God might choose to grant life today. You know, we've seen a consistent stream of salvation in recent weeks. We pray God will bust the doors wide open and he will choose to have mercy on so many and save so many as well. Lord, would you do that? Let's pray together, church. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe where you are right now, the Lord is leading you. Maybe you're just so tired of running around and pursuing the next thing. You're so tired of the misery that has confronted you. You're so tired of the stress of trying to figure this life out. You're so tired of wondering, where do I go next? You're so tired of your sin that at the end of the day, and you know that's what it is, sin, just haunting you, ruining you, just making you so sad. So frustrated. Why doesn't it fulfill? How come it can't fulfill? Because it never will. It just won't. But there's one who does. There's one who redeems. There's one who saves. There's one who forgives. There's one who shines his light in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. There's one who is the bread of life, the one who gives you living water. There's one who is all sufficient and beautiful and so powerful. There's one. And his name is Jesus. Child, stop running. Stop running. Surrender. For the first time ever, truly surrender. For the first time ever, Jesus, I give up. I can't do it. I need you. Forgive me. Live in me. Save me. You call out to him. You call upon his name, you will never, ever regret it. Ever. Ever. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If you'd like to hear this message again, or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.